If the poor have to eat, let them beg upon the street or apply at the workhouse door. If they refuse to earn, then let them learn what a prison's for. I abhor how they whine, how they want whatever's mine. Why should I give a thing for free? Let them beg till they're blue. It has nothing to do with me. I say let them die and decrease the surplus population. Good afternoon.
Mr. Scrooge, I'm sorry.
Welcome to Westerns with Dad. This is Matt.
And this is Dad.
And on this episode, we are going to be talking about, well, it's a television movie made in Canada in 1998. Entitled Ebenezer, and this is starring Jack Palance as Ebenezer Scrooge in the Old West. It is an Old West version of A Christmas Carol, which of course is appropriate for Christmas, which is happening this week. So this would qualify as our Christmas episode this year, obviously.
Yeah. All right. You can't go wrong with A Christmas Carol. It was close, but you can't go wrong.
I mean, this is probably the best evidence of how indestructible this story is. Basically, it is what you would imagine, a transposition of the Charles Dickens story into the Old West with noted Western actor Jack Palance as in the title role, and it is really something to see him taking this on. I would say a delight, in fact.
Yep.
Carries the whole questionable enterprise on his shoulders. We watched this on YouTube. That seems to be the only place it is available. The copy we had, it's a 90-minute film, but the clip that we watched was listed as 2 hours and 5 minutes, so we were very curious as to what the those last 35 minutes were going to be. And it turned out they were a random 35-minute segment of the film reinserted at the end of the film. So,
go figure.
Yeah, that appears to be the only copy of Ebenezer available on YouTube, but it is still there, and will be there for the foreseeable future, I'm sure. So it's a Christmas Carol in the Old West.
A bizarre Christmas Carol,
to say the least. This is great, though, because it kind of gives us a chance to talk a little bit about just the general Christmas Carol story, which has been, I would say, pretty big deal in this family. This has been
classic, yeah. Classic for family.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It was the go-to film for Christmas Eve for years.
Yeah, I mean, it still shows up occasionally on Christmas Eve. That would be the Alistair Sim version.
The Alistair Sim version, which is the best.
I think it's definitely the best.
1951, best Scrooge, best script.
It's the purest. It's the closest to the Charles Dickens novel. It really seems to capture everything that the novel is, you know?
Like, yep.
It doesn't monkey with it in any way. There's no changes from... it is a straight-up version of The Christmas Carol. But, you know, I'm pretty open and amenable to just about any version of this. I can't really think of one I just outright disliked.
You always have your comparisons and contrasts, but there's one with Reginald Owen that they seem to show for years on network TV at Christmas time, and I could never figure out why they didn't show the Alistair Sim version.
That's the old one, right?
1938.
Yeah. I don't know if that's the first version, but it's the oldest one that is still in regular rotation. Yeah.
Right. And it's just not up to snuff. It doesn't. It just doesn't do it like the 1951 version.
The other straight up version that seems to have a lot of admirers is the George C. Scott one.
That's not bad. I think he does a good job. Credible job.
Yeah, it's solid. You know, it feels a little TV movie-ish to me a little bit.
Yes.
Yeah. Compared to the Alistair Sim one. You know, which is, it feels like a It looks like Dunkirk in comparison to Ebenezer. But it's... but yeah, very set-bound, very very low budget. But it does have George C. Scott playing Scrooge, and that's pretty fun. And there's a bunch of other versions, of course, the that have a place in my heart. The Bill Murray Scrooged is wonderful. I've watched that a lot of times. Muppet Christmas Carol is pretty good. My wife loves that one immensely. That's a pretty good one. It really is. and yeah, the first one I was ever exposed to, the Disney Christmas Carol.
Mickey's Christmas Carol?
Yes. Uh-huh. Tells the whole thing in 23 minutes. Uncle Scrooge. That was, you know what? I remember it was the first time I ever heard the story, and it was like, oh, what a good story. That's great. Oh, look, it's Peg Leg Pete as the Ghost of Christmas Future. That's appropriate. And yeah, I always understood Uncle Scrooge to essentially just be a character that created to be in that Christmas Carol.
Right.
And maybe he was, actually, to some extent, what with being named Scrooge and all.
Yeah. Well, he was in the comic books for years.
That is the only other Scrooge in pop culture, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't think there is another Ebenezer.
No.
Like.
No.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. This story rules that name, pretty much.
Well, Dickens was a master at coming up with the names.
It's a pretty good name. And yeah. And yeah, I mean, this is my favorite Christmas story. I don't know what else compares, frankly, now that I'm saying that. I mean, this is the classic.
It's got it all. It's got the, mm-hmm. The conflict at the beginning, you know, the, the dilemma, the thing that has to be overcome. It's got the resolution, the happy ending, which you just can't resist.
And ghosts. It's got many ghosts, which, you know, I love having ghosts in a Christmas story. apparently that was a thing. Christmas ghost stories. Like, that I guess is an English tradition that, like, you know.
Yeah, there's a whole book on them.
Uh-huh. Like, you get together and tell ghost stories at Christmas. It's in that's in one of the carols, right? The most wonderful time of the year.
Oh, yeah.
There's that one line, "There'll be scary ghost stories and tales of the glories of Christmases long, long ago." That's great.
Right.
Uh-huh. Well, how come we don't have ghost stories for Christmas in America? We need more. Like in Krampus. Okay, so shall we talk about Ebenezer directly, the 1998 Canadian television Western movie version of this?
Sure, why not?
Uh-huh, so... The first thing you notice is that it is an aggressively cheap and ugly production. with, you know, sort of a tinny music piped over, looks like Grandma Moses paintings, something like that. Like, knockoff Grandma Moses, to be clear, of the frontier life. And
yep, mm-hmm. Classic frontier town.
Mm-hmm. Where they sing carols a lot. I mean, they're really into Christmas.
One thing surprised me is that they're having a Christmas pageant.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
In this little podunk town.
It looks like a population 100 kind of situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Half the town's in the Christmas pageant.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it could just be that, you know, we don't have extras.
Yeah.
You know, this was meant to be aired on TV once. Yeah. And we, you know, immediately they introduce Scrooge, and he is a saloon owner and a rapacious gambler in this, sort of, and a bit of a dandy and a gunslinger, and of course played by Jack Palance, or Palance. What is correct?
I like Palance.
I like Palance too. I don't care what it's supposed to be. And he's, I mean. What can you say about Jack Palance? He's great. He's he's so much fun to watch.
Good or bad, he's fun to watch.
Exactly, yes. Uh-huh. when he phoned in, it doesn't matter. He's a delight. we've talked about him before on the podcast in City Slickers and Shane. And I would say that, you know, if there's a three-tiered pantheon of Jack Palance westerns, it would be these three films, right? It would be City Slickers, Shane, and Ebenezer right there. Ebenezer.
Wait, there's got to be another...
Yeah?
Another western that's... that beats out Ebenezer on the...
With Jack Palance? I don't know. But beats out Ebenezer? Let's see.
Maybe
not. He made quite a few movies, but very few of them were particularly memorable or great. And I always think of Batman and Tango and Cash as well. Right. But we actually went and watched a bunch of clips of Jack Palance after we watched Ebenezer. Host segments from Ripley's Believe It or Not. clips from a fantasy movie he made in the 80s called Hawk the Slayer. Just all that stuff. He's great. He's so much fun to watch, even when he's just clearly barely even knows where he is. He has that incredible voice and that presence and that breath control. He's so good. And again, yeah, he basically is the entire reason to watch this. Like, can you imagine this without Jack Palance in it? What a deadly watch this would be.
Oh my God.
Just stick in some actor, you know, a TV movie actor of random. Let's say Richard Thomas from The Waltons is playing Scrooge in this. Oh, it's so boring. So boring. Nothing against Richard Thomas, but it takes somebody of Palance's singular presence and strange delivery, you know? Like it's a Christopher Walken situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. And and he's really fun in this.
He really is.
Even when he's being goofy, you know? So, yeah, he's a gambler. And we're introduced to the other...
He's also the saloon owner.
Yeah.
And...
Implied he owns much of the town.
Half the town, he says.
Mm-hmm.
He owns half the town, and he is Bob Cratchit's boss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bob Cratchit, there... Their version of Bob Cratchit is just he's just a Bob Cratchit. Like he's just the guy who works for Scrooge. And that's basically they don't have much innovation when it comes to transposing this story to the Old West, I have to admit. Very little, in fact.
Well, except for the Rick Schroeder character.
The Rick Schroeder character, yes. Uh-huh.
Go figure.
This is a original character that appears in Ebenezer. And no other version of the story. There's no corollary, is there?
Not that I know of.
No. He's sort of a young guy who wants to get married to a young lady in town who it turns out
Jacob Marley's daughter.
Marlowe's daughter, Jacob Marlowe.
That's right.
They've changed it to make it sound more Western. Is that what that is?
That's what I was thinking, yeah.
So, yeah, he decides he's going to go into this bar and just have a drink and ends up getting sucked into a lengthy card game with Ebenezer Scrooge, the most famous card sharp in town.
Who always sits at the same seat at the same table.
Mm-hmm. And
has the same mannerisms.
Yeah, and... Ricky Schroeder's character, Freddie Benson, something like that? It's not Freddie. Freddie is his cousin, but it's Benson. Ben? I'm going to call him Ricky Schroeder this whole episode.
Yeah, okay.
Lonesome Dove's Ricky Schroeder.
Yeah.
Just a few years later, appearing in this. This is like... Both of these actors, by the way, Schroeder appeared in Lonesome Dove, Palance did City Slickers, like 5 years before this. And both of them ended up in Ebenezer. it's impressive that this is where they came together for this project.
Bizarre that City Slickers and Lonesome Dove were springboards to Ebenezer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So basically, Palance taunts and
cajoles
and bullies Ricky Schroeder into gambling away all his money and then all his land as well. It's like, yeah, you're out of money, but you know, a real man never leaves the table when he's got something up to stake, you know, that kind of thing. And Ricky Schroeder is playing an unfathomably stupid character in this, so he continues to be gotten the better of.
Yeah.
Like, he's just a really dumb guy. You can almost... It's hard to blame Scrooge a little bit for some of this. It really is. Because he's just that dumb. He's an absolutely rock-stupid person. One thing I noted in this scene is that Ricky Schroeder uses the word ain't, and Scrooge jumps all over that.
Corrects his grammar.
Yeah, yeah. This Scrooge
That's something
hates
new.
Bad grammar, yeah. It's an innovation. Updating it for the Western. And... And, yeah, and so it comes to blows, you know, it's one of those improbable card hands, you know, I got a full house, well, I got four of a kind, and,
yeah.
And of course,
four aces. Yeah.
So, Schroeder assumes that he is cheating, and,
we know that he's cheating.
Mm-hmm. Do we know at this point?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. The way he sneezes and the cards come up in his hand.
That's true, yeah. He's got a... I thought that was his tell or something is what was going on at first, but he's totally got a trick table where he... and he has a very obvious cheat tell, which is him sneezing cards into his hand. And, you know, and so Schroeder accuses him of cheating him. I say, oh yeah? What are you going to do about it? I ain't no cheat. And the local law shows up.
Well, he wouldn't have said ain't.
You're right, he wouldn't have said that. The local law is a bellhop. Dressed local law in this town dresses for all the world like a bellman. It is a, you know, a red and yellow blazer with a red and yellow pillbox hat.
Pillbox hat.
Yeah, like, I mean... Is this like a Canadian thing, maybe? Because there's no...
That's what I was thinking.
This absolutely looks like a bellman and not a policeman or a sheriff or anything.
Right.
It is not a costume that demands respect and authority.
No.
Turns out this is also his cousin Fred. The cousin Fred, you know, from A Christmas Carol, who is constantly asking Scrooge to dinner and being rebuffed. So, you know, the fix is in. and yeah, Bob Cratchit uncovers proof of the cheating at this point, right?
That's right, as he's setting up the table.
Yeah, as he's
table got
up.
Knocked over, yeah.
And Scrooge's move is to fire him immediately.
Right.
Which...
At Christmas time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh. Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's a successful, like, if you're gonna, you know, that's not the way to keep the guy's silence. Or is the idea, like, by firing him, you know, and then no one will take him seriously?
Good
Pretty
question.
Easily provable when you have a trick table with little card pockets that are built underneath it.
That's, yeah.
I mean, all somebody's gotta do is check that. But I guess they're all just scared of him.
Well,
because
he's
also
a scary guy.
The toughest guy in town, and the best gunfighter, and the biggest badass. And you know, it's Jack Palance. He seems to be made of oak throughout this. let's see. We hear the name Jacob Marlowe thrown around here, and again, why? my old partner died these 7 years ago. And there's this thing where he's seeing ghosts, you know, like he's passing by people and noticing them, then turning around and they're gone, who we will come
right.
to see later as the ghosts, you know, the ghosts. Scrooge also has a Christmas tradition of eating dinner at a brothel on Christmas.
That's an innovation.
Yeah, like he shows up at the brothel, you know, the Old West style brothel, and they're like, oh, we know what you want, Scrooge. And I'm like, oh, this is interesting. You want a big turkey dinner for Christmas. you know, and he insults the help. You know, you all deserve to be here. You know, stuff like that. And particularly runs down the waitress, who is Jacob Marlowe's daughter, who is getting married to Ricky Schroeder, who is also a virgin saving herself for Ricky Schroeder, as she announces in this scene, and not working as a prostitute, even though they all think she should. And also, Scrooge doesn't think she should, though, because she's too homely, is what he says. and he kind of, you know, they get mad at him, and he has to leave.
What's her name, Rebecca?
Yeah, it's Rebecca. That's right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Erica? Is it?
Rebecca is Scrooge's wife's name.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Yeah, her name's Erica.
Erica.
My wife just informed us that it was Erica, and that Rebecca is Scrooge's ex-wife, which is a plot line we'll get to later. The ghosts start showing up. They're not great.
No, Marlowe is particularly lame, I think.
If I had to pick a low point of the whole enterprise, it would be Marlowe. There is no build-up to the ghost's appearance at any point. A scene just starts with Jack Palance sitting at a table, and then, like, oh, it's a ghost! And he turns around, and there's the ghost standing there. You know? With bad superimposing effects.
Haze around the edges.
Yeah, and, you know, no build-up. No, like, knocker turns into his face. No rattling and noise in the hall. No build-up at all for the ghosts. It's just, oh, there's a ghost. He is never scared of any ghosts or at any point. He is never...
Well, let's see. He throws the picture of Marlowe into the garbage, but it ends up back on his desk.
Yeah.
That was the only indication something was up.
Right. That does have. And he just sort of walks into the story at this point. And yeah, and this Jacob Marley, always one of the most impressive guest roles in the Christmas Carol. Always one. It's very interesting to see how they handle it. It's one of the more outwardly scary parts of the thing. They make no choices at all. This is a completely neutral, I'm quite possibly the worst Jacob Marley I've ever seen.
Yeah.
There's nothing
badly
to this
written
guy.
To begin with.
Mm-hmm. I couldn't tell you a thing about him. You know, he has narrative purpose beyond the usual Marley, which is that his daughter is still in town. And he also didn't seem to be a bad guy, but he's in hell now anyway. or yeah. Walking the earth as Marley is doing. It's not clear.
No cash, you know, no cash registers or chains or anything on him.
Mm-hmm. He's just a ghost cowboy. And he kind of sucks. This is where we first get the blah, blah, blah. No, we're getting blah, blah, blah early, which is the Jack Palance version of Bah Humbug.
Well, hogwash as well.
Right. Well, this is the confusing thing. He says hogwash. Christmas is a hogwash early on.
Right.
And so you think, oh, okay, that's going to be a Western, quote unquote, version of Bah Humbug. And then he does that like one more time, but mostly he is... His thing is to cut people off and be blah 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 when they're saying something about Christmas he doesn't like,
and, right.
And that's, you know, you get a lot of blah blah blah, which I don't know, is probably not period appropriate. I don't know.
Doesn't seem like it to me.
Low on their concerns, I'm sure.
But it seems fairly obvious that it doesn't really work very well.
you know what I missed in this? What I really, like, one thing that I thought they had no reason to cut out and would have been just great to have would be the two guys collecting for the poor on Christmas. I wanted them in there.
Yeah, they didn't have anybody, did they?
No, You know, that would get all the, are there no prisons, are there no workhouses? They could have come up with a Western version of that. That would have been fun, huh?
Right.
If they were going to die, they'd better do it and decrease the surplus population. Not here.
No.
Mm-hmm.
Those are classic lines, too. They should be in there.
Yeah, or some Western version of them, for sure. Mm-hmm. The closest you get is somebody throws his blah, blah, blah back at him. That's... Christmas present shows up shortly after.
Past,
of course, yes. Similarly, with no fanfare or occasion. This is an Indian woman. I thought this was...
You called it.
Beforehand, I was like, I bet Christmas Past is an Indian. And it was, and they did nothing with it.
No, there was no reason why she should have been an Indian.
No, well, I think it's a great idea, but they didn't do anything with it. Like,
right.
Because the past of America would be Native Americans. Would be, what they did for Christmas or some version of that.
Well, there was brief mention of it.
Mm-hmm. There's a little bit of, like, casual racism when they, period appropriate. Just Scrooge is like, I didn't know your people cared about Christmas.
And gift giving and everything.
And they're like, oh, well, we do. Yeah, you know, it's spirit of the heart. And do you know Pocahontas? And her response is, yeah, she's nice. And yeah, it's just part of, you know, another example of the lack of ambition on display.
Yeah.
But they make a feint towards doing something with the Western setting in making this character a Native American. But it begins and ends with that.
Right.
And most of this young Scrooge stuff is interesting because it is changed. It is not familiarly, not the familiar backstory exactly. It's just reminiscent. But it's not changed in a way that is particularly Western at all.
It's true.
Yeah. These are some of the more effective things, I think, where they do change stuff to cater to a Jack Palance Western character a little bit. You know, like... the stuff with where he's got some weird resentment for his dad for pulling him out of boarding school. That's sort of a, you know.
Which is a change from the original story because there was no indication in the original story that he was this great student and had such promise and everything. But in this, there is.
Yeah.
And he was cruising along, you know, doing really well in school, and his dad takes him out. And he never realized why his dad took him out until the ghost of Christmas Past shows him his father and why he had to take him out of school.
Couldn't afford it. Yeah.
That's all there was to it.
It's not a bad scene. I mean, this backstory actually works, I think. You know? Like, it's different.
Yeah, but like you say, not particularly Western.
No. That's kind of strange, but it works. And there's something unspoken going on with his dad in this. Like, you never really hear much about Scrooge's dad in any version. This seems to have some ideas about Scrooge's dad. They are not fully articulated. They're not, you know, they don't really pay off exactly, but they're present. The thing later with Christmas Future, that's something. Something's going on there. They're aiming at something that they don't quite commit to. Which I guess makes sense because Christmas Carol has very little place for Scrooge's dad as well. He was just sort of an authoritarian that didn't get along with Scrooge for the most part, you know. And his bigger relation is his sister Fan. Not really present in this.
No, in fact, we have no idea how his nephew Fred ended up in town.
Yeah, this is a weird thing. It's very strange that his nephew is living in the Canadian town that he that Scrooge lives in, because he's moved around a lot, and there's no reason for the Philadelphia-based Scrooge clan to have sent young Fred up to the up to Canada to be a bellhop sheriff in this small town. If we're trying to like justify it in our heads, I think it probably was like he had no prospects and was like, well, hey, if I go up to this Canada in town, my Uncle Scrooge lives there, he'll have to help me out. And then he got there and Scrooge did not help him out. That's my headcanon.
You just created the backstory.
Yeah. Yeah. And they run through some stuff that is familiar in Scrooge's backstory, like the he worked for Fezziwig, a good guy that everyone liked. And rather than really tell any of that story, they just like, well, now you're working at Fezziwig's and you stole all his money. and yeah. Left. Mm-hmm. And that's Fezziwig's story. He's also spelled with two S's instead of two Z's for no reason.
Fezziwig, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Which is brings up another thing. Scrooge is way more outright criminal in this than any version I think I can see, with the gambling and the outright robbery. And he's a criminal.
He really is. Plus, well, later on, he's a gunslinger.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's good with shooting. That's a thing. he kills people.
Yeah.
Which I guess is part of fitting this into a Western motif.
Yeah.
You could say. I mean, Jack Palance, you know, you got Jack Palance, you might as well use him as a criminal.
He's best in gangster movies and Westerns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Or Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Hosts.
That was so much fun, that little clip of Ripley's Believe It or Not we saw. The, him reading the E.E. Cummings poem about Halloween. That was great.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, beware of the lady with the wart on the nose. What she'll do to ye, no one knows. The great green dancing devil. Wee!
Devil.
That's another recommendation. Clips of Jack Palance doing intros for Ripley's Believe It or Not. They're on YouTube. They're great. he visits Deadwood here for a moment.
He's trying to find gold.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh. And goes to the boomtown of Deadwood to find gold.
Well, there was a gold rush in Deadwood.
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. That was part of the series.
Yeah.
It's irrelevant. He doesn't meet Wild Bill or anything fun like that. He meets his wife there. And he gets married in this one. And and just so he can be a disappointing husband and screw over his father-in-law a little bit.
A lot.
Yeah. Uh-huh. With more outright criminality. So his father-in-law is ailing, and Scrooge buys a bunch of diseased cows on sale, and comes to realize that this, and then sells it all off before the symptoms become obvious.
Not just the cattle either, the whole ranch.
Right. Yeah. Uh-huh. So he screws over his buyer and causes his father-in-law to have a stroke at the horribleness of it all, and. And then
so in essence, is responsible for his father-in-law's death.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And so his wife runs off with another man, and he's one of the biggest asshole Scrooges I can recall, actually. One of the most evil ones, I think, like outright evil, you know, not just kind of a nasty old miser, but like a real bad guy, like
right.
Then we pause with the ghosts, you know. He finishes up his Christmas past adventure, and we get to the we get to the innovative new plot line with Ricky Schroeder and his wife breaking into the saloon looking for evidence that he cheated. And discovering that he did and going to confront him. They find the trick table and then they call him out in the middle of the night.
Was this between past and present?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
And he thinks they're the ghosts of Christmas Present at first.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. And he's, oh, I didn't know you were dead. And calls him out for a showdown at high noon. Western stuff in this Christmas Carol.
Which is really problematic for Rick Schroeder because he can't see.
Yeah.
He needs glasses.
Yeah, like as soon as he says this, his wife's like, ooh, no, that's no good, you know, and because he's just gigantically dumb, he's just like, well, no, when a man is, you know, wronged, he's got to do the right thing, even if it means he's dead, and that's all there is to it, and he's such an idiot.
Yep.
he's just, this is like the big innovation of this. Because they don't care about the ghost. The ghost, like, no fun to be had there. It's all about this Ricky Schroeder plotline. This is what this one brings to the table. Other than Palance, of course. And it's where you really feel them making the most of their Western setting. Or at least trying to fit it into the Western setting, the framework there.
Right.
The closest they get. Yeah. To really making a go of it there.
Yeah, the showdown at noon.
Mm-hmm. I think that all worked quite well, actually. I think that was good of them to try. but before we get to that, we got to talk about this damn Christmas present sequence.
Oh my God.
I don't know. Is this ghost worse than Marlowe? Is this? It's arguable.
Could be.
There's
shows
less
up
of him.
A couple of horses in Scrooge's room.
Okay. Now, is Christmas present? The guy who stole Scrooge's wife? He says something like that. Yeah, uh-huh. And he also kind of looks like a colonial Brit. Like, in the Raj.
Yeah.
Like, he's dressed like a red coat, but he has, like, a white pith helmet with a spike on the top. Like, he's in the Kaiser's army, and they're riding around on horses. He's kind of got an accent.
Once again, you got to wonder if the bellhop thing and this guy's outfit were... You know,
period appropriate
for Canada.
Mm-hmm. I guess. I mean, was this, do you think, intended for Canadian audiences?
Let's hope so.
Yeah. So yeah, you know, he does all the things that Scrooge does at Christmas Present. Frankly, like, it's pretty much just going to Bob Cratchit's house, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's about all they do.
Yeah. And this, to go along with one of the meanest, most evil Scrooges I've ever seen in a Christmas Carol adaptation, this is probably one of the most spineless, wimpy, cowardly Bob Cratchits I've ever seen. Like, just the fact that he's already been fired, you know? Like, and he still is, you know, carrying water for Scrooge for the sake of the children's Christmas. It's like, oh, well, you know, it's Christmas Eve, so, okay, well, thanks to Mr. Scrooge. And, you know, and he admits to Tiny Tim that he got fired because he can't keep it in anymore. I wish he was, like, crying during that scene in front of, you know, just. you know, and that's all there is to it. You know, Scrooge, I wouldn't want that kid to die. You know, This is your basic.
Yeah, you can see Palance beginning to change a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he's really good in this. I mean, not like really good. But
in comparison to the rest of the cast.
Oh, dramatic, yeah. but just the fact of Jack Palance. I mean, you know, him being forced to go through the stages of the cross that are playing Ebenezer Scrooge is a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah.
You know? it's just a delightful role on him. And if it took this Western to get him to do it, it's actually I think, worthwhile. He's really fun. If you enjoy Jack Palance and Christmas Carol, I mean, it delivers.
Yeah.
Like, they might, you know, I think they blow it with the ghosts, and they have a bit of a failure of creativity in a lot of aspects, but when it comes to Jack Palance doing a dinner theater version of Christmas Carol, I mean, this has it. This is exactly what you want.
Yeah.
He's totally doing it. It's fun to watch. This is over very quickly. There's no ignorance and want sequence. It's just, nothing. Move straight on to Christmas Future, which is not a bad design. Not he looks like a Nazgul, with some like gray hair coming down,
sticking out.
Now these are different than the traditional Christmas Carol Future scenes too.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Tiny Tim, for example, is dying, but we don't know what from. Could be consumption,
mm-hmm.
but he's not lame. He's not a lame
right,
boy.
He's just sick.
He's sick.
In a non-specific way.
Right.
There's no crutch.
No crutch, and he dies in the future, during the Ghost mm-hmm. of Christmas Future.
That's about
segment.
The only thing that's the same, though.
Yeah.
Otherwise, and this is very strange, usually what they do is they show after Scrooge's death, no one cares, and, they're just, everyone shit-talks him, and, he's not held in any esteem. And in this, they show things that have solvable, specific solutions. Like, there are things that he could just do differently, and they would go differently. They take him to the duel at high noon the next day, and he indeed kills Ricky Schroeder in this duel, and everyone is really upset about it, and he's just he's just angry old mean Scrooge about it, and then they show the girl Erica coming to beg for Scrooge's help or something like that, or just call him out, and he sort of yells at her and says, "No, you're stupid. Yeah. And then trips and falls off the balcony of the saloon and dies.
Bangs himself on the stove.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
And so this is all stuff that you could just do differently to change rather than like the course your life is on, If you and then they show Tiny Tim's funeral. And there is no correspondent scene of like a Scrooge at his own grave,
No,
that doesn't happen in this. So you kind of get the sense that he's just mad that Tiny Tim had a bigger showing at his funeral. And also, Christmas Future is his dad.
Yeah.
Whatever.
He tears the mask away. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yep. Go figure again.
It's something they didn't figure out. Like, they had an idea about something going on with his dad that they didn't quite get, ultimately. And that's that. I like that in the post, after the ghosts have arrived, and done their thing, and the reformed Scrooge, the transformed Scrooge shows up in the last bit here. More than ever, I would say, he seems closer to just losing it and reverting back, like, as Palance plays him. He seems really testy.
Mm-hmm. Complete with the future showdown.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yeah.
Because, he goes down, he sleeps till noon, and they're... They're calling him out to come out, and go down for his showdown. He's like, "Oh yeah, that's still happening. Okay." He rolls down, and ultimately it ends kind of, it's kind of like Barry Lyndon. It has the same ending as the duel in Barry Lyndon. He refuses to shoot at Ricky Schroeder, and Ricky Schroeder, because he's blind, misses him. And they only had the one bullet, so everyone thinks he's going to kill him. And he makes a big show of looking like he's going to kill him anyway, and then ultimately doesn't. And then yells at him because he was insulted that that Ricky Schroeder called him, what was it, liver lips? No, a lizard licking lizard chicken. Or, what the hell?
Lizard licking chicken.
Mm-hmm. Like, as he's turning into a good guy, he's like, and don't you dare ever call me a lizard licking chicken again. they get, you know, all the, and then more of the Scrooge Stations of the Cross here. And goes to the Cratchits, gets them dinner. And the thing that they add to this is that he shows up at the Christmas pageant as Scrooge, as Santa Claus, Saint Nick. Yeah.
Which nobody knows how to take.
They all boo him. They're all like, boo, we don't like you. And that's another moment where he looks like he's about to lose it. He looks like he's about to flip right on him. I think he starts singing a song and Tiny Tim sings with him and everyone joins in. And then it's, you know.
Hallelujah, yeah.
Yeah, uh-huh. And that's it. And that's Ebenezer. It's,
Wow.
Solid. Solid. In the scheme of things, I thought it was pretty okay, though, you know?
There's something about the reclamation of Scrooge that's, you know, hard to screw up completely.
It is. It's one of the best. Like, it's as a piece of writing, it's exceptional.
Unbelievable.
And that's why it has been adapted so many times. And you can't really point out a terrible version of it. Can you think of one that just completely whiffs? The Christmas Carol? There's got to be some.
Without balance, this one would have.
What's it?
Without balance, this one would have.
Oh, yeah. This is pure garbage without the pleasure of seeing Scrooge as played by Jack Palance. he's the perfect cheesy Scrooge for this. He's a lot of fun. But even still, this had Palance.
There are a lot of versions in the Hallmark holiday schlock that...
That's true.
Aren't great.
I mean, I've seen garbage adaptations of this, I guess, and before, so surely there's some bad ones mixed in there. None come to mind. You know what I never really much liked was the Magoo Christmas Carol.
No.
I don't like the animation.
No. Yeah, mm-hmm. That wasn't great.
Or Magoo in general.
I just remember the Razzleberry dressing.
Yeah. It's ugly. As all Mr. Magoo cartoons are. It's not good design. It's just dumb.
Oh, Magoo, you've done it again.
A lot of people say that the Charlie Brown Christmas special is the best ever. It's not a Scrooge story, but that's the best. I don't know. Well, let's talk a little. Okay, let's put Ebenezer to bed here. How many stars for this one, Dad?
Because of Jack Palance, 3.
Yeah? That's pretty good, Dad. I'm going 2. with the proviso that, yeah, Jack Palance is a lot of fun in this. That's 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, you can do worse. You can definitely do worse with Christmas movie. If you want, like, it's a Christmas Carol, you know? Again, like I said, it's a pretty indestructible story, and yeah, there's worse ones for sure that you can watch. We were looking on Netflix yesterday for Christmas movies, and man, there's a bunch of garbage. But yeah, like for real, this is not an exceptional one. But you know what? I had fun anyway. I had a lot of fun watching it.
I have to admit. Great.
Yeah. what are the Christmas movies, Dad? I mean, I just mentioned Charlie Brown. What are the ones for you, you know?
The 1951 Christmas Carol.
Yeah, that's
classic.
Important. Mm-hmm. That's probably the best, like, within the history of our family for watching and, you know, that have the most nostalgic reverie for, be that Alistair Sim.
A Christmas Story that we talked about last time.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's a Wonderful Life.
Of course.
Miracle on 34th Street.
What do you think of the remake?
It's okay. I prefer the black and white.
It's definitely better. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just the fact that Macy's is in it and not Kohl's. Yeah. Uh-huh. We watched Christmas Vacation yesterday. Where does that stand in the pantheon for you? It's one of my favorites. I think it's wonderful.
I'd say without Eddie, Cousin Eddie, it really lacks something.
Cousin Eddie is in it, though. He's all over it. He's wonderful.
He's great.
Merry Christmas. Shitter is full. It's so great. It's he does so many great big things and also so many little things that are really funny in that. Like, so many good line
delivery.
Who's
the actor again?
Randy Quaid.
Randy Quaid.
The great Randy Quaid. The legend. You know what's up with him nowadays?
No.
Oh, he's insane. He's completely lost his mind. He was warrant out for his arrest for him and his wife for something insane, like petty vandalism or something. And Jeez. So they escaped to Canada and and put out a bunch of rants about how there were people in Hollywood trying to kill him, the same people that killed Heath Ledger and they put out a bunch of videos on YouTube about spouting out a bunch of crazy ideas about conspiracies and last I heard he got extradition and he's in Vermont and maybe seeking political office, something like that. He's become a folk hero. Yeah.
Wow.
And he's wonderful in Christmas Vacation.
Yeah.
Do you know there is a sequel to that, a direct sequel to that? Christmas Vacation 2, that only stars Randy Quaid?
Is that right?
Yeah, uh-huh.
No Chevy Chase?
No Chevy Chase. Mm-hmm. Huh. I mean, Chevy Chase is in the other actual sequel, Vegas Vacation.
Right.
Which also has Randy Quaid in it. But Christmas Vacation 2 just stars Randy Quaid. And it takes place in Hawaii or something? It isn't very good. So that's up there for me. I don't know. What else? Is Die Hard? Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's Die great. Die Hard. What's nice about that is, it's an excuse to watch Die Hard again, which is like the best action movie ever.
Well, Scrooged.
Scrooged, well, yes, of course. Uh-huh.
It's got to be in there.
I love Scrooged. I think it's so much fun. I like how dark it is. It's one of the darker adaptations of this story. And frankly, I mean, I'm just a big Bill Murray fan. He's wonderful in it.
Yeah.
I like how 80s that is, too. It's super 80s, It's, corporate culture all over the place. I mean, all that needs is like a lot more cocaine, and that would be the most 80s thing ever. He downs like, he has like five tabs in that movie. He drinks tab like five times. that's a good one. Let's see. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, I've talked about Krampus before. I've maybe even... in this episode. A new Christmas horror movie I like immensely. It has a lot of puppets in it. It's great. I love Krampus. As we've said, there's a million Hallmark movies you can watch at any given time. Some of them have talking dogs, from what I understand.
I haven't seen a talking dog movie yet.
Oh, yeah, there's some. Well, you probably have, skipped right over them on the... on the listing, because you're like, oh no, I'll pass on this one, thanks. So what else, Dad? What else have we seen recently?
Star Wars last night.
Yeah, we went to Star Wars last night, and I thought it was pretty damn good.
So did I.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, it is a controversial entry. I thought it was just fun. I thought it was just a really good time, and it had issues. Similar to the issues that the last one had, The Force Awakens. It's just kind of. They're just kind of repeating stuff that they've already done, I kind of wish they'd break out of that a little, but this one did a better job of it than the last one, and what I really liked about it was just, I thought the action scenes were excellent. I just thought all the space battles, all the, you know, all the carrier light jump sequence with Laura Dern, the big
land speeders on the salt planet.
Striking visual. That was so cool
that
looking.
That was great.
Uh-huh. And the big sword fight, laser sword fight in Snoke's chamber, all that stuff. Throughout, I just thought the action scenes were great. Not so much the thing at the casino planet where they were riding the critters through the...
Right.
That wasn't great, but every other action scene was really strong. And Mark Hamill, what a performance.
What a great job.
That was just great work. Man, he was wonderful in that. Like, you know, I wasn't crazy about how they handled Luke, but Mark Hamill pulled it off for me. Like, he was so good in that role. You know, it felt like something he'd been waiting to do for years, and, you know,
yeah.
It was thrilling to see him play that role again, I thought. I don't know, have you seen anything else recently, Dad?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas movies.
All right. Well, I think we're good here. I'm glad we did this before Christmas actually happened, Dad.
Yeah.
It was a near thing, let me tell you. And so that's it for Westerns with Dad in 2017. Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at westernswithdad.com, where you can find every back episode, including the ones that have fallen off of iTunes. You can email us at westernswithdad@gmail.com, where you can suggest titles or ask us questions to be answered on the air. And please leave reviews or ratings on iTunes. They improve the profile of the show and help more people find it.
And speaking of requests.
Yeah. In the next weeks, next week we're going to be doing some more requests in the new year. In the next episode, we're going to be doing an oft-requested film, something we've always meant to do, and something I'm very excited to talk to you about, Dad, because I know you have interesting opinions about, non-traditional opinions about. We're going to be talking about Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid, the Robert Redford, Paul Newman, buddy comedy western, written by William Goldman, one of the classics of 70s westerns, with a lot of interesting elements, quite a few interesting elements to speak of. We're going to be talking about that in January 2018. It'll be the first episode. I couldn't tell you exactly when that'll be, but, you know, we're on Christmas break here as well a little bit, so look for that in early January, and I believe that is going to be it. For now, happy 2018, and thank you so much. Thank you so much for listening to us. And
yeah, we really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's meant a lot, honestly. It's been a great thing that we've been able to collaborate with, you know, with each other on, and work together on a project. It's been everything that we could ask for. So thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Adios, amigos.
Love, it feels like Christmas. It's true wherever you find love, it feels like Christmas.